Chapter 19. Better Healers. Healing the sick and reforming the sinner demonstrate Christian Science, and nothing else can. Does. Mary Baker Eddy, 1904. The unselfish loyalty of the church in Colorado Springs, which brought forth the leader's unending recognition, was a reflection of the unselfish thought of the student most responsible for this branch church, Ella Peck Sweet. The church's action may have been a surprise as well, as a joy to Mrs. Sweet in the summer of 1904, for she was not in Colorado at that time, but was at Pleasant View, one of the mental workers in Mrs. Eddy's household. Ella Peck Sweet. Mrs. Ella Peck Sweet had learned from her devoted mother to turn to God for guidance, but she was a frail, sickly child and continued to suffer from ill health for many years. When Mr. Sweet moved his family to Buffalo Springs, Colorado, in 1880, it was with the hope that Mrs. Sweet would find the mountain climate beneficial, which had proved a frustrated hope. By the fall of 1885, at the age of 47, her physical condition was so critical that she went to Denver to live out her final days. But Mrs. Sweet did not find the end she anticipated in Denver that October. Instead, she found a new beginning through the renewing of an old acquaintance. Mrs. Sweet had first met Mary M. Hall when Mrs. Hall was living on a ranch some 20 or 30 miles from Buffalo Springs prior to her move to Denver. In Denver in 1883, Mrs. Hall had become blind and lame, and in the spring of 1885, embarked for New York with two of her daughters in search of medical aid. En route, the trio found Christian Science in Chicago, and Mrs. Hall went to Roger Sherman for treatment. Roger and his parents were the pioneers who simply had found the textbook and begun healing. In September, 4 months later, Denver was all astir when Mrs. Hall returned completely healed. She and her 22-year-old daughter, Minnie, had had primary class instruction from Roger Sherman's father, Bradford Sherman, while in Chicago, and back in Denver, they were overwhelmed with patients. At times, as many as 100 in a day. One of Minnie's patients was her friend Mrs. Sweet, who was healed quickly and completely, and who began an earnest study of science and health. The interest was so great in Denver in the fall of 1885 that Bradford Sherman was summoned for help. Ella Peck Sweet was a member of the first of the two classes Mr. Sherman taught in the Hall's home in December. When Mrs. Sweet returned to her own home, the news of her healing spread rapidly, and she was soon healing throughout the area as she had been healed. The next fall, 1886, Mrs. Eddy invited Mrs. Sweet to attend her normal class at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. But alas, Mrs. Sweet had been doing all her healing work freely and had no funds for this progressive step. Mrs. Eddy told her to be prepared the following year. When the call came again in October 1887, Mrs. Sweet was ready with the necessary funds and with eager anticipation. In the classroom, the teacher was delighted when she called upon Mrs. Sweet to define animal magnetism. And Mrs. Sweet answered, quote, "Animal magnetism is the sum total of all error, and that in itself nothing, until you attach belief to it. End quote. Mrs. Eddy clapped her hands and said, quote, "Well answered," end quote. Following her course at the college, Mrs. Sweet expanded her missionary work, responding to calls within a 100-mile radius of Buffalo Springs. She taught classes in Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Cannon City, and Denver, and was instrumental in founding the church in Cannon City, and especially the one in Colorado Springs. At the time of the building of the original Mother Church in 1893, the leader invited a number of her students, each to contribute $1,000 to the building fund. In the 1890s, that amount was more than the annual income of a great many people in the United States. Few of those selected could easily afford such a contribution. But the leader had chosen strong, dedicated, conscientious workers, one of whom was Ella Peck Sweet. In retrospect, Mrs. Sweet said, "It was only by entire reliance on divine mind that I was enabled to reply to Mrs. Eddy that I would accept her invitation. Such a sum of money had never been in my hands. Infinite resources seemed at once open to me, and at the appointed time, the amount was mine to send, and my gratitude for this great proof of love's supply was unbounded." The Sweets were living in Denver in June of 1904, when a telegram arrived one Saturday asking Mrs. Sweet to meet with the board of directors in Boston the following Tuesday. Within 3 hours, she had made the necessary arrangements and boarded a train for Boston. Her promptness caused William B. Johnson to remark that she must have had her shoes on her feet and her staff in her hand. She was truly a Minuteman for the cause and for the leader. That Tuesday afternoon, in an interview at Pleasant View, Mrs. Eddy questioned Mrs. Sweet about her work and her family, and then asked her if she could come to live at Pleasant View for a while. Following a trip home to arrange her affairs, Mrs. Sweet returned to Pleasant View. Newspapers in both Denver and Colorado Springs commented upon the honor conferred upon Mrs. Sweet in being called to Concord. Very soon after her arrival, Mrs. Sweet visited the Concord Church, which was nearing completion, and injured herself when she slipped on a board. She and other members of the household at Pleasant View worked to meet the situation without success. When Mrs. Eddy asked some of them what was wrong with Mrs. Sweet, they said she was all right. And Mrs. Eddy said, quote, "She is not all right," end quote. She then asked Mrs. Sweet what was wrong, and Ella replied that it was being met, to which Mrs. Eddy responded, quote, "It is not being met," end quote. When the leader asked Mrs. Sweet how she was working, the latter said she was knowing there was no accident in mind. To this, Mrs. Eddy replied, quote, "That would not heal you. You were brought here to help me. You are one of my best workers," end quote. She then pointed out that the only trouble was an argument to interfere with her usefulness to the leader. By the time Mrs. Eddy finished talking to her, Mrs. Sweet was healed. Mrs. Eddy said to her, quote, "I will say for your comfort that if you were brought here with every bone broken in your whole body, you would respond to my treatment," end quote. Mrs. Sweet had been at Pleasant View 2 or 3 months when the Sentinel of September 10th published the letter from First Church of Christ Scientist, Colorado Springs, along with Mrs. Eddy's response. In that same September 10th Sentinel was this brief news item about a triennial meeting. The 6th International Zoological Congress, in session at Bern, Switzerland, has accepted an invitation to hold the next Congress in 1907 in Boston. Triennial meetings were something that were also in the leader's thought. Several years earlier, she had adopted them for her National Christian Scientist Association, before discontinuing their meetings altogether. She had taken the first step toward triennial normal classes in December 1903, when she wrote the bylaw, quote, "No more students," end quote. Now, an amended bylaw in the September Journal took another step in this direction. Quote, "The Board of Education has two classes annually, a primary and a normal class, each not exceeding 30 pupils. But no normal classes are to be taught before December 8th, 1906," end quote. She may have considered Mr. Kimball's last Board of Education class in December 1903 as a normal class, although it was later designated as primary. Christian Science was spreading by leaps and bounds in 1904, but the field did not need more teaching. What it needed was consecrated application of what had already been taught. Mrs. Eddy wrote to one of her students, quote, "I gave so much to your class, my last class, and so little has been done with it," end quote. Perhaps she had seen the necessity for curtailing the teaching of Christian Science when she had written to Mr. Kimball nearly a year earlier, quote, "Our cause demands better healers, and if less teaching classes is enjoined, more practitioners will be fitted by the book to heal," end quote. Now she was limiting the number of classes and of pupils. But she was introducing this change for teachers and teaching gradually, as she had been forced to do on so many other issues, lest her followers chemicalize and resist completely. Her lieutenants, who thought she was always changing her mind, were unaware that she was leading them one small step at a time to accept an advanced concept which they would rebel against if taken in one decisive step. To those who could understand, Mrs. Eddy said, quote, "Often I sent out an angel, a new bylaw, and it would come back bruised and bleeding, and I'd have to take it in and cherish it until the field was ready for it," end quote. At one time, a manual with new bylaws had been printed, but at the leader's direction, withheld from distribution. Mr. Kimball was at Pleasant View on the Saturday that the new manual was put on sale, and he said he never saw such a thunder and lightning storm as besieged Pleasant View that day, and which proved to be but local. Mrs. Eddy pointed out the window to the storm and said to Mr. Kimball, quote, "This is mortal mind's answer to my manual," end quote. The amended bylaw in the September Journal in 1904 restricted not only the Board of Education, but also primary teachers to fewer and smaller classes. Apart from the Board of Education, the teachers of Christian Science shall teach but one class yearly, which class shall consist of not more than 30 pupils. There may have been pressure from Pleasant View to get this September journal with its curtailing message out promptly, for Mrs. Eddy's secretary, George Kinter, wrote to the Publishing Society at the end of August, "Accept our sincere thanks and most cordial congratulations upon the prompt delivery of the September journal." Everybody, from the leader down, was pleased to get it so early. Another letter from Kinter to the trustees of the Publishing Society in September stated, "Our leader directs that you make the change at the head of the editorial page, as proposed, provided you do not make any change in the present form of the cover of the journal." One of Mrs. Eddy's letters on October 3rd reveals how much Augusta Stetson helped her. "I sent to you a $20 gold piece, not as money, for that can neither express nor pay for your kindness in helping me to outside wear or apparel. It was simply saying, quote, you keep the golden rule in this way, and my gratitude is golden beyond words," end quote. Did you get that? Can I do more for you in any way than I am doing? As for work, I cannot, for I have more to do now than I ought to or can attend to, but I can advise or instruct when you need it. Darling, I need tea jackets, two at least for the cool weather, and have but one. I herewith send cloth for one, and you can send samples, and I will select the sample for another. Herewith, please find my old waist for a measure guide. Have the tea jackets plain and nice fitting, smooth but loose around the hips, and in front and not very long below the waistline. Those Miss Moulton sends hang in folds and a foot below the waist. I will not wear them any more. Darling, rise each hour. Now is the resurrection morn, and I want Augusta to be my Mary." Her closing paragraph deeply affected Mrs. Stetson for the rest of her years. 15 years earlier, Mrs. Eddy had written to this, quote, precious student, end quote, "Your dear letters are a great reward to my tired life. For this I thank God and you. After one quarter of a century, I have gotten, such as you, a few noble, faithful students. Do you not see that when you do as I request, how you prove your ability to do what you had before doubted, and how everything goes well if my directions are followed? Yes, darling, you are learning this and growing like a sweet, fat, promising baby, like a beautiful sapling, like the reeds by the river, like the child, Jesus." Unlike the majority of the leader's students and followers, Mrs. Stetson was instant in following her teacher's directions, and everything had gone very well for her. Gilbert Carpenter said of Mrs. Stetson, quote, "She was a brilliant woman, with a recognized ability and understanding of leadership far greater than any other student I ever knew outside of our leader. Mrs. Stetson had the finest church in the field. She had the wealthiest and most socially prominent students in New York among her congregation and association. Her students, who were businessmen, advised her in her investments so that she might be prosperous and live in elegance." End quote.
And envy and jealousy had set in against Mrs. Stetson, even as with Edward P. Bates and Edward A. Kimball. But every student who helped the leader most or followed closest in her footsteps came under such attacks. And the dear students who indulged in the gossip and slander were unaware that they were being handled by the age-old problem of who shall be greatest. Mrs. Seal, whose healing work in Germany was so outstanding, was another whose very success brought much criticism upon her. In a letter to Mr. Mackenzie in October 1904, Mr. Kinter said, quote, "When I was coming through Boston last fall en route to Concord, I asked at the publishing office about Mrs. Seal, being in need of her address, but was given a most decidedly cool impression of her standing, you know, innuendo and arched eyebrows," end quote. This attitude was never from the leader, who on more than one occasion gave words of warning, encouragement, or comfort to those students who helped the mother most and whose accomplishments brought the envy in others to the surface. Another letter in October to her helpful Augusta said, "The hood is very nice now. Your love and faithfulness have again triumphed. God bless, guide, perfect my precious child, and he will, inasmuch as you minister to me in temporal things, divine love will lead you into the eternal. Giving we receive, and the measure ye meet shall be measured to you again, even though you have to wait as long as I have waited to prove this, and in some things and ways of this world's approval. Accept my deepest love and thanks.